Morning, everyone.
Morning, Paul.
Pick the microphone up a little bit. God bless you all. Thank you once again for the opportunity to come and share with you. Caroline and I consider it an honour and a privilege to always be able to come. The church in Langford brings greetings, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, we had the opportunity to share in the Anglican services down in Manjimup, Northcliffe and Pemberton. David Swain, who's the head of the parish council in that region, has permission from the bishop to lead the service of communion by extension. And we're applying to become licensed lay ministers with the Bunbury Diocese of the Anglican Church so that we can ease the load on David and Warwick, who are the only two guys down in that region who are actually permitted to actually lead communion. And so we want to be able to help build into the body of Christ down there. During our trip, Caroline brought the children's talk in Northcliffe, and there was about a dozen kids on the floor, and they were really getting into it. It was a great time talking about who your hero was, and it was actually really cool. They got to like do a little shield and everything. And along the way, so we had a chance to go and visit Pemberton as part of the thing. There was actually three services over the weekend, and we met Molly, who I believe is a relative, a cousin, for Locke. So it's a small world how we keep going around the place and finding out all these connections between us.
Has she dubbed us in already, has she? Molly is
a cousin.
Yeah. I know. The way you were nodding there, I thought, oh, she's already rung and said,
It was great, actually. So last week was our church conference, and we had two prominent prophets come and actually give us some time. There was Vicky Simpson and Murray Newman. Vicky's a part of our church family, and Muzz has been a regular visiting speaker over the last few years. He's come and run these prophetic workshops, but this is the first time they've actually ministered together, and was an amazing time of learning and growth. We had a prophetic workshop on Saturday morning. Sunday night we had a leaders meeting, our Sunday morning service, Sunday night encounter night, and then Monday night we had a healing service. And it was amazing how many people turned up, and it was just such a powerful time for us as a church because God's presence was so real and tangible in that place. I believe that many people had a lasting encounter with God as a result. Next week's Father's Day, and there's a special Father's Day service in our church. And then the following week, we're heading to Meriden to bring the message to the yawning church there. God is good. We're on track for 18 speaking engagements this year. 18. So it's just wonderful opportunity. I know you all know me, but for the tape, those who don't know me, my name is Paul Mulroney, and Caroline and I are itinerant pastors for C3 Stand in Langford. Our heart is to encourage the body of Christ in rural areas through teaching, worship, prayer, and discipleship. But something you may not know about me is that I made a faith commitment when I was in high school, and I decided to attend the Interschool Christian Fellowship. And the first time I was there, the teacher told us to pair off and tell each other your life story. And that's where I found myself sitting across from Caroline. It was her first time at the ISCF too. Her friends didn't want to go, but she decided to go by herself anyway. It was one of those really true God moments. So I started hanging out with the guys at the ISCF and found that God was alive and well and interested in every part of my life. It was there that we had a visiting speaker had come and spoke, and I realized that I needed a personal relationship with God. And it was that night that I prayed that prayer of faith and gave my heart to the Lord. And that was in 1985. Over the years, there's been a number of people who have spoken into my life, and they have made a significant impact on my faith walk with God. And just some names. Gary Morgan. He was the maths teacher at Narrogin High School, and he was the one who organised the ISCF. If it wasn't for him, that God moment with Carolyn Lai would never have happened. Gary had a Pentecostal background, and as a result, we learned all about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit interacts with us on a day-to-day basis. And then there was Pastor Bob Burton. Now, he was the pastor at Canning Baptist Fellowship, and he ran a discipleship school that Carol and I went along to. It was on like a Monday night. We go along and Bob would teach us how to study the Bible. And he gave us a really good, solid foundation to build our faith on. His regular Sunday morning preaching was his foundational teaching on Christian life and faith. We would come away from these messages and remember these things even years after, just understanding the true heart of God for each one of us. Then there was Vivian van der Graaf. She was the head of Lamplight Ministries. She introduced us to the motivational gifts teaching based in Romans 12, and we've actually run seminars around that. Motivational gifts helped me understand who I was, who I am, and why I react the way I do in certain circumstances. I had the walk to Emmaus, which wasn't necessarily one person, but a whole community of people demonstrating the love of God and what it is to live a life of grace. And for those who want to go, the next walks are in October. So if you're really interested, fantastic time away, 3 days away, just unplug from the world and spend time with God. And then Clinton Phillips, he was the pastor of Jubilee World Harvest, which became C3 Langford. And C3 Langford had a motto of passion for God, compassion for people. And Clinton demonstrated this in everything that he did. If you think back to when you made your commitment of faith, who was influential in your life? Can you think of anyone that had a significant impact into your faith? There are many more people I could mention. Grandma and Grandpa Mac, for example. Uncle Ian and Wendy. Ben Sleep, even. Family who have spoken into our lives and demonstrated faith in real and practical ways. Maybe you've had a family member speak into your life of faith. I asked Caroline this question last night, and she talked about some of the past ministers here. Derek Hope, Katoni Fahaki, even Mum and Dad, you know. Because of their faith, this led them to be active in the community and build into the life of others and bless the world around them. Do you ever think about who else that they have impacted through their faith? It's been a few years since I've seen Pastor Bob, but I hear he's been flying to India to teach and disciple pastors over there. India. Bob's 90, right? And he still gets on a plane and he flies around the world. And those times he's unable to fly, he does Zoom sessions. This guy's 90 years old and he's as internet tech savvy as I am, which is so cool. If I'm half as active as Bob is when I'm that age, I reckon I'm going to be doing all right. So how can we honour those who have taught us in the faith, who have trained and equipped us to serve God today? Well, in today's reading in Hebrews, it gives us some insight to show us what our response should be to the selfless input that we have received from our spiritual fathers. But before we get into the word, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit so that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we will hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our reading out of the New Testament is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, and then 15 to 16. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says this: continue to love each other with true Christian love. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Don't forget about those in prison. Suffer with them as though you were there yourself. Share the sorrow of those being mistreated, as though you feel their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Stay away from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. That is why we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who first taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and trust the Lord as they do. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we're going to skip over the bit about the system of Jewish laws down to verse 15. With Jesus' help, let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God by proclaiming the glory of his holy name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have with those in need, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So here's a little bit of background about Hebrews. In the Passion Translation, it says this about the letter. The purpose of the pastor's sermon is to prevent those he's addressing from abandoning their Christian faith and returning to Judaism. And along the way, the author teaches them and us about the superiority of Christ above the religious institutions of Moses and the Old Testament. The sermon letter is filled with references to the old sacrificial system and the priesthood of ancient Israel, and explains how Jesus' death has replaced this old religious system, making it the perfect book to understand how Jesus' story fulfills Israel's story. Nowhere is there a better definition and explanation of faith in the New Testament than in this letter. Faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen, as it says in Hebrews 11:1. It is a far cry from the traditional understanding that faith is merely belief. Biblical faith claims a confidence beyond our own because it rests in the character of God, the foundation of our faith. Part of practicing that faith is persevering in it. Despite the fact that we live in a world that refuses to acknowledge God and opposes the church, we are called to persevere in our faith, just like the great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. And Hebrews warns against turning away in rebellion and telling us the very divine message that saved us is the same one that will condemn us if we turn away. In other words, Hebrews focuses on the centrality of Jesus. Jesus at the centre. The author letter focuses on stripping back all the bits and pieces that people have tried to add onto the faith. It happened in the past. It's not Jesus and the law. It's not Jesus and the angels. It's not Jesus and Moses. It's just Jesus, the perfect sacrifice made for us once and for all. And as we come towards the end of the letter, chapter 10, it talks about Christ's sacrifice once for all. That because of Christ's sacrifice, we can enter that most holy place to be with God. And then chapter 11 lists the great examples of faith, the Heroes Hall of Fame, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, Abraham, and so it goes on. These people who put their faith into practice. And then chapter 12 says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with endurance. The call to submit to God's discipline, to set our eyes on Jesus and refuse to be shaken from the path that God has laid out for us. And then finally we get to chapter 13, our concluding words, which is where today's message comes in. And it starts with verses 1 to 6. It starts with continue to love each other with true Christian love. The author is calling us to love one another. How does that love manifest itself? Verse 2, hospitality. Verse 3, show compassion, justice and mercy for those who are suffering. Verse 4, honor one another in marriage. Verse 5, be satisfied with what we have. God will never leave it or forsake us. God has promised a permanent commitment to be with and help those who believe in him. Then we get to verse 7, and this verse really stood out for me. And I think this is what God's trying to tell us today. Remember your leaders who first taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and trust the Lord as they do. In the Message translation, it says it like this. Appreciate your pastoral leaders who gave you the word of God. Take a good look at the way they live. And let their fruitfulness instruct you as well as their truthfulness. There should be a consistency that runs through us all. In the New Living Translation where it says, remember your leaders, or in the Message where it says, appreciate your pastoral leaders, it's really trying to say, emulate. As in, those who have raised us in faith have modeled what a life of faith looks like. Those who raised us in faith have modeled what a life of faith looks like. So if we want to be strong in our faith, We would do well to follow our spiritual fathers and leaders as a good role model of what Christian life should be. Their lives, their faith, is an example for us to follow. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. This is a great encouragement for us. Though the community that we live in faces new challenges, and maybe challenges that they wouldn't have seen back in the days when the letter was written, it's still this: Jesus Christ is the same, and the good news does not change. One of the commentaries says it like this: the Jesus Christ who supported your spiritual fathers through life, even unto their end, yesterday, in times past, being at once the author and finisher of their faith, remains still the same Jesus Christ today, ready to help you also, if like them, you walk by faith in him. In other words, Jesus is walking with us in the same way that he walked with our spiritual fathers of the faith. Jesus walks with me like he walked with Pastor Bob, Pastor Clinton, with Viv. There is a constancy about Christ that we can take great comfort in. Verses 13 to 15, with Jesus' help, let us continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God. And don't forget to do good and to share with those who are in need. So before Jesus, the only way that we could become right with God was through the sacrifice of an animal. Now that Jesus has become that perfect sacrifice once and for all, the only sacrifice we need to make is praise to God and proclaim his name. And this goes hand in hand with reaching out to the community, to those in need. It's this kind of sacrifice that is pleasing to God, showing mercy to the poor and doing other acts of kindness for others. Verse 16 of the Message translation says it like this: make sure you don't take things for granted and go slack in working for the common good. Don't get slack in working for the common good. Share what you have with others. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship, a different kind of sacrifice. The sacrifice that takes place in the kitchen, in the workplace, and on the streets. God takes pleasure in these acts of worship. That's the sacrifice that we need to make. Don't give up working for the common good. Now, I can hear you say, Paul, so what? We've talked about young love. We've talked about fathers of the faith, amazing people in our lives and others. But what does it mean for me? What do we need to know? When God called us to faith, he didn't expect us to stumble around trying to figure out what that life looked like, right? He didn't do that. He gave us role models in the form of our spiritual fathers who demonstrated to us what it means to live by faith. Those early days of learning have shaped our understanding of God, and they help direct our lives toward God and for his glory. Now, why do we need to know it? Well, when life is hard, how do we know how to respond to those challenges? How do we respond? Right. I don't know if you remember, there was a time there where people had these bracelets, what would Jesus do? You know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Sometimes that's actually not really clear. So maybe we could just as easily ask, what would Pastor Bob do in this situation, right? What would Grandma Mac do in this situation? See, we have this amazing resource of spiritual giants that selflessly have given of themselves, they poured out the love of God through their words and actions so that we could be formed in Christ. So we could look to them as a guide to see how we respond in those difficult times. So what do we need to do? We need to follow the example of Christ. Let's emulate the lives of our spiritual fathers. Like it says in verse 7, remember your leaders. Emulate them. Let them be your role models, a template for Christian living. But what if they're not perfect? Anyone here perfect? No. Hold fast to the good, ignore the rest. Hold fast to the good, ignore the rest. Maybe some of those who we have admired have fallen in the face of sin and have maybe disqualified themselves. I know that. In my life, I've seen some people that I looked up to and admired, and then you find out later on that there was more to the story and they weren't all who they said they were. And in those situations, let that also be a warning for us as an example of what not to do when difficulty comes upon us. You know, when something happens, don't do what they did. Yeah. So why do we need to do it? Well, as we emulate our spiritual fathers in good Christian living, demonstrating a life of grace by living that life of piety in our relationship with God, study by training our minds on God's ways, and Christian action by being the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us. As we do all those things, we will see our lives transformed so that we don't live for our own selfish means, but we actually start to look like Jesus. We start to take on God's values. We start to see things as God sees them. And that has the power to transform both inside and outside us. So how can I get you to remember this? If you could sum up today's message in one catchy title, I reckon it's this: there are footprints worth following. Yeah? There's footprints worth following. Hebrews 11 talks about the great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on from the grandstand, watching us run that race that God has set before us. If we fix our eyes on Jesus and we let the fathers of our faith be our role models, our guides in our life, in what Christ, our life in Christ looks like. Let me say that again. If we let the fathers of the faith be our role models, our guides for what our life in Christ looks like, then we can focus on the race ahead. We can focus on the race ahead and run it with patient endurance. Now I can hear you say, well, now what? Where do we go from here? What does it look like when we apply this in our lives? That's a really good question. People have come to us in recent times and have said, Paul and Caroline, you're such an inspiring role model. And to be honest, I have to say, well, I don't really feel it. When I wake up in the morning, it's really hard to get out of bed. It's really hard to get motivated. And yet they say, oh, but you're doing so well. But here's the thing. We've been married 37 years in December to the same person. Still fully engaged with church, still in love with each other, still serving the community. Despite the challenges that life throws at us, we're still here. That's being a role model for others, being authentic in our faith and persevering. One person asked me recently, what's my secret? How do I do it? And my immediate response was like, I got no idea. I don't know. But then I said, it's actually only through the grace of God that we're here. And since then, I've been pondering about that question. It really stuck in my head. God has been talking to me about perseverance, about showing up. He's been talking to me about being faithful to my commitments. And it's like this. Don't look at the end and lose heart because you think you're not there. You just need to start. Don't look at the end and lose heart because you're not there. Just start. Even when things look like huge mountains before us, we need to make a start because every journey begins with one step. How do you eat an elephant? One mouthful at a time, right? You can't eat it all at once. For Carolyn and I, even when we feel completely overwhelmed ourselves, we still make time for family. We still make time for others. We give even when it would be easier just to retreat. I just want us to pause for a moment in God's presence. Let's close our eyes. How is God speaking to you this morning. Maybe you feel your life's going a little bit off track. But who are the role models that we could look to that will lead us back to Jesus? If we want some inspiration for our life of faith, we can look to those who inspired us and led us to Christ in the beginning. And we can honour their memory by continuing to walk in the faith. We don't have to win the race. We just have to keep moving. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have led us to faith. Thank you for those valuable role models in our lives that have inspired us to follow you today. Thank you for their teaching and their instruction. Today I pray, inspire us to draw closer to you, that in our walk of faith we could continue to be transformed into the image of Jesus, so that your name would be glorified in everything that we do and say. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.